Welcome. This is Conversations with Matthew Bronson on KUPR 99.9 FM in the high desert of Placitas, New Mexico. And there is a video portion at abqlive.tv, depending on what else I have going on. And to look at 2016, by huge request, the mayor of the town of Bernalillo, New Mexico, Jack Torres. Welcome, sir.
Thanks, Matthew. Nice to be with you again.
And that didn't sound very enthusiastic.
I have a hard time speaking and thinking at the same time, so boy, glad to be here, Matthew. Thrilled.
Good. I'll get behind you in that line of just trying to remember everything. The town of Bernalillo is not the biggest town in the area, but is it the smallest town in the area? It's probably the only town, unless you talk cities.
Well, I guess if you compare us and Corrales, we're smaller, so we're probably the smallest town in the area.
Okay, but close.
Yeah, very close.
Annual revenue, about the same?
I don't know enough about them to say. I know that our in the last census, Corrales had 9 more residents counted than Bernalillo. And the former mayor, Gasterra, took great pleasure in reminding of that fact every time we got together.
That can change so quickly. hopefully only in a positive way.
Right.
But about the same annual expenditures, or we don't know that either?
I don't know enough about them, honestly.
I mean, there's not a regional mayor's convention in Palm Springs or Guadalupe?
Actually, we do get together, but it's usually on a much different plane in terms of issue sort of oriented rather than real specific details like specific financials or things
right.
like that. So we discuss things more like, you know, what's the upcoming legislature going to look like, or maybe strategies, or
sure.
maybe share information somebody has, perhaps.
But all that information is public, like the, and this is nothing that what I thought we were going to talk about, but that's what happens. You know, budget, what do they spend on the fire department, what do they spend on police, what do they...
Oh, it's all public, but, sure.
So wouldn't people within your organization, it's kind of like Macy's and Gimbel's, they want to know what's going on.
I'm sure the staff probably does, but for me, I just focus on what we have, and I'm not really all that worried about what's around us, to be honest.
No, and it's probably comparable.
I would think
but
so.
But if you came across like, wow, water treatment, they're 3 cents a gallon less than us, why, let's go, you know, meet in Toronto and talk about this. I'm for a corruption-free government. all right, so what I thought we'd kind of talk about is what is your biggest good stuff in 2016, and maybe some things that, I won't say failures, but things that you'd like to have gone better, or
sure.
maybe they've been deselected, and then what can we put on our calendar for next year,
okay.
and then whatever else I can interrupt you about in the middle.
Sure.
So take it away, Mr. Mayor.
Sure. I think in terms of successes or things that we feel that have gone well, we've seen some good development in the town over the last year. And one of the things we're real excited about is that we're seeing more diversification of that sort of the sector. So we had seen in the past several years a number of retailers, a lot of them focused on fast food or gasoline, those sorts of things, which are okay. But what we've seen in the past year is diversification in things like some small manufacturing growth. We've seen things like assisted living facility come into Bernalillo, those sorts of things. And what we're most happy about is those are the type of businesses that offer more of a living wage to people, rather than the entry-level stuff that you tend to get with the fast food type stuff. So again, the retailers like fast food are good for us, but getting that diversification so people have some career opportunities that are really careers rather than jobs have made us pretty happy okay. about things.
Excellent. If I may have a rebuttal.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Jennings. development. Yeah. In I've been fortunate, as we commute back and forth to Placitas, to see this firsthand. Applebee's, I think Filberto's came in the last couple of years, other things like that. But downtown, that seems to be pretty stagnant. Like, if you think back 20 years ago, are there new businesses? Not that someone failed and a new business came in that thing, but is there actually, you know, more people employed? And that the elevation or the edifice, you know, going down the street, has that really changed that much? It's more 550.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's, and I think we have to be realistic in terms of how the market drives development. And so I think there's a couple of things happening. Number one, the traffic numbers on 550 are appealing to a number of businesses and certain types of businesses. And I think that's okay. But I agree with you. Our real challenge is trying to get what I would call the downtown, sort of the historic core down Camino del Pueblo, finding ways to create some revitalization, because we do have a number of empty businesses, empty locations, and we're doing a couple of things. The first thing that'll happen is the town had secured funding to improve the appearance and ADA compliance along Camino del Pueblo.
Right.
And we had completed phases one and two. Phase three, which is sort of the middle of Camino del Pueblo from Calle Presidente up to Calle del Norte, had not been done. It was scheduled to happen in 2020, which is a few years away, and we were able to move that up, and we'll actually begin construction now in 2017. And so what that does is improves the appearance, new lighting, like the decorative lamps that are already there, ADA accessibility all the way through, and it's a facelift from the town side. So that's number one. The other thing that we're doing is we're in the middle of a economic development process at the council level. Last week we had a work session with some consultants that we've hired, and putting together an economic development plan that addresses needs throughout Bernalillo. And part of the discussion is about how do you revitalize that Main Street.
Right.
We've continued to apply to the New Mexico Main Street Association for membership because there's some benefits there. The town was a member. They let it go, several years back. We've tried to get back on, but unfortunately, their budgets, like many state agencies, have been cut, and they've not accepted any new members for several years now. And we'll continue to look to them. And if not them, see if there's any other organization we can find that can help us with directing maybe some of the potential development into some of the sites on Main Street, because it worries all of us.
And it costs to be designated a Main Street?
Well, it isn't so much cost, but there are benefits that members are eligible for that we're not eligible for if we're not a member. So that might be technical assistance on design, loan programs, support for right. businesses even, that we just can't access unless we're
And they're funded member. At a state level.
Correct.
Okay. We're going to get to the state.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Beautification.
Or the state's going to get to us.
Yeah, it's, who knows. You said beautification of Main Street. Really corresponding at the same time as the ADA facelift. That's from where to where? From 550 to Berlin, or
No,
on Main Street.
Right. So this Phase Three streetscape is what it's technically called. Is that area from Calle Presidente, which is about at the ALSUPS or the District Attorney's Office, up to Calle del Norte.
Okay.
Which will then complete the section from Avenida Bernalillo, which is the traffic light on the south end of town, to 550.
Is that a mile?
Gosh, I don't know.
What was phase one and two?
They were the south end and then the north end. So they left a gap in the middle that needed to be filled.
I know it's the first time I went down Main Street, in front of the range, there's that crosswalk where the street lights up, mm-hmm. and it's like, my God, am I at Starfleet? I'm in Bernalillo. It was such they just didn't seem to go together, but glad to see that it was the start of something.
Right, and I think, again, I wasn't a part of that design, but I think it was a good thing that was done, and the idea is to fill in this gap and then move forward from there as well.
Are you familiar with the Hollyhock Committee?
Vaguely.
I believe it is the proprietor of the gallery that is across from the range.
Mm-hmm.
Got a thing for hollyhocks.
Right.
You can go into that gallery, pick up hollyhock seeds, and she would love to see Main Street just be lined with hollyhocks, because from what I understand, they're almost indestructible.
Mm-hmm. They are.
The less you water, the more you kick them, the bigger they grow and the prettier they are. I think the gestation period is 2 years, but would you be in favor of making Bernalillo, I don't want to say get rid of the Coronado City, but maybe the Hollyhock, Friends of Hollyhocks.
I think we would be amenable to being Friends of Hollyhocks. Sure.
Okay.
I have some at home, and one of the reasons I like them is that it's something that I can almost not destroy, which is a good thing.
It's almost a challenge.
Yeah.
I will kill you. Nope. All right, so that's a pretty big thing for 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Other things?
You know, I think there's a number of things that are in the works. Again, we're formalizing our economic development department at the town. Prior to about a year ago, we didn't even have anybody assigned to economic development. It
right.
sort of fell to different people at different times. That's becoming formalized, both in terms of from the staff side and expectations of staff regarding that, and as well as formalizing an economic development plan for the town, which, as I mentioned before, the council is going through right now. And I think that's a big deal, because what I hear from constituents and what I believe is that we want economic development, but we want the right kind of economic development. We want development that will fit in with a small town nature, that'll be environmentally friendly, that'll hopefully offer some living wages, careers that people can get rather than just a job. And so, again, there's a number of requirements that I'm hearing both from constituents, from the council, and again, things that I believe as well.
Is there a big gap in what people are defining as the right kind of businesses?
A big gap in terms of, are there a lot of ideas of what the right kind of businesses are?
Well, one person might say, I'd like to see a pool hall in with a brew pub, or just
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
I don't think there's a huge gap. What I'm hearing is, number one is that the businesses be small-town respectable, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
Environmentally friendly. So, in other words, we're not looking for smokestacks up and down Hill Road.
Sure.
And looking for, again, let me get sort of digressed to explain maybe my belief in small-town friendly. We had our nighttime Christmas parade that first Saturday of December.
Yes.
Went extremely well. I don't know the number, but we had more entrants than we've ever had. And what we saw...
And more spectators than before.
There were tons of spectators, yeah. It went real well. And a lot of the new entrants were new businesses into Bernalillo.
Okay.
So, and actually, interestingly enough, we had several businesses that weren't in Bernalillo but were entrants as well. So when we get support like that, our entrance fee for that is $25.
Right.
We're not going to break any businesses that I know of. And we use that money for our Christmas fund to buy gifts for kids that need gifts for Christmas that might not otherwise get one. So seeing businesses that say, we're not just here to make money or to have our presence here, but actually give something back. And, you know, it's not a huge thing that they're giving in some ways, but from a symbolic measure, it's enormous. So when you have a big parade that people really enjoy, you know, we have Santa out there, the kids love it, it generates a little bit of money for a needy project, those are part of being a good fit for the community.
It's quick and easy.
And there's other things that fit in with that as well. So, environmentally friendly types of businesses are things that we're very interested in. and businesses that, again, can develop some career opportunities for people. And again, we're not looking to mandate a higher minimum wage like some communities, but we're looking for tiers, because, you know, sometimes it's okay for it's okay for a 16-year-old to make minimum wage to get started, but we're looking for businesses that ideally will also have a career path that people can maybe get into, maybe with additional training or with experience from within. And those are the types of things that I hear constituents talking about in
Where do they foresee these 16-year-olds? What will they be when they grow up if they, you know, progress?
Exactly.
People said we need to put them in the right direction, but I don't know what the right direction is. If I had a child that was 16, I can't say, you need to be an engineer or you need to be a doctor. Those careers could be so different then that maybe you're better off being a plumber, because no matter what happens in the world, you still need plumbers.
Well, I think those are all personal decisions, but what you want within your community is a variety of businesses that maybe open kids' eyes to what some of the opportunities are.
Right.
If you never go into a cardiologist's office, you're probably never even going to think about being a cardiologist. But if you've got a part-time job working for an engineering company, maybe you say, maybe that's where I want to go. And I think we're not necessarily saying we're steering them specifically there, but opening up options that kids might say, if I spend a summer here, maybe that grabs my attention and it takes me in the right direction for me, versus always working and say, and I've gotten nothing against people getting summer jobs or part-time jobs in a place like a fast food place, but there's only certain directions you can go from there. And if for somebody that's the direction, then that's okay.
Yeah, that's a means to the end. I got to buy gas. I got to have car insurance.
Right.
I'm still studying and I'm going to be something, but I can't get a job as a veterinarian at 16. I can't tell you how many newspapers I delivered, and that was not my career goal.
Right. Yeah.
On mornings somewhat like this morning, too, but with 2 feet of snow. Good. And I was happy to do it.
Right.
Thrilled. I'm not sure what it taught me, but probably something, I hope. I believe the town had at least one intern. Months ago, I spoke to Maria Rinaldi. She had a young lady. I didn't have the opportunity to meet her. Was that from a local high school?
The most recent interns we've had have come through us through the Workforce Connections programs.
Okay.
They've got an office over at the 550 Rail Runner Station, and so sometimes there's programs that allow us to pick up an intern, and we've had several over the last couple of years.
In just basic office skills, or?
Yeah, and a lot of them come in with really advanced computer skills, so we can put them to use in a number of different departments and have.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm kind of, computer-wise, I'm right at that breaking point, like when adult men went from long hair to short hair. You meet people who you think are your contemporaries, and computers just confuse them. Mm-hmm. So, but we grew up within 3 or 4 years of each other. What happened? Mm-hmm. So maybe that's just my experience.
Yeah.
Not a Harvard man.
Ouch.
Any new traffic lights or traffic patterns?
Well, I think we've talked about DOT's plans for 550. Other than that, no, that's enough.
Okay. Oh, the Boscape Brewery. We see activity there.
We do. We're happy that there's finally activity there. As far as I know, their contractors are gearing up to go full steam right after the first of the year. I don't have any completion dates set. And apparently there's quite a few plans on the books. I'm actually meeting with that developer later this week. So if you and I had spoken next week, I might be able to share more. But I'm just anxious as anybody now to hear what their plans are at this point.
From what you understand, they're going to occupy the whole building, or they're going to multifunction?
From my understanding, they'll take most of the building, including adding a second floor with a deck.
Wow.
For, you know, beautiful views as you're sipping their beautiful brews. I may trademark that later on.
I think you should.
But I've heard two different versions, and I'm honestly not sure if they're going to take the entire building or not. I've heard rumors that there may be a ground-up restaurant built on the parcel as well. but nothing firm in terms of what type of restaurant or if that's even a reality or not.
That building doesn't look exceptionally substantial to me. I mean, I've never been in it. It could be absolutely hurricane proof, but it looks like it'd be need some money to shore it up.
You know, I'm not sure. I was in there as a customer when they were open several times, and I never felt unsafe or anything. But I'm sure they've reviewed that carefully.
So, as the mayor of the city where a large business like this is going to go, they purchased it. Do they have a plan? What is the ongoing fiduciary responsibility of the mayor with a business like that?
Fiduciary, there's none.
Okay.
It's privately owned. Our approach is that when we get someone that comes in with a real development, because there's a lot of speculators that come by, but it's obviously something that's real, we'll step up to support them in any way we can, and that can mean everything from helping them dealing with New Mexico DOT on curb cuts, which can be a challenge, dealing with the utilities. We've done that for a number of projects where they've had challenges with, say, PNM or New Mexico Gas Company. We'll try to do our best to give them support in getting that done. And the other thing that I think is important for us is we'll work with them as efficiently as we can to make sure that not only our ordinances, but any requirements from the state get met. And if we can help in any way, sometimes it's providing them information or directing them to specific people. We'll do those sorts of things for them.
And that parcel is on city water, city sewer?
It is.
Okay.
Right.
The city is such a jigga-jagga.
It certainly is.
It's interesting. You got to have a map to know the players.
That's right.
So across the street, there is a lot of heavy construction equipment. It looks like it's going to be a NFL stadium.
That'd be interesting.
Is that Bernalillo or is that our neighbors?
No, the work going on there just west of Badass Coffee is all property owned by Santana Pueblo.
Okay.
And as far as we know, and this is mostly secondhand, their intention is to develop a retail strip center inside there.
Oh.
I don't have any details on specific tenants, but that's what we've been
told. Well, a few times I've gone in there to spend my heir's inheritance, I kind of get the idea that they want to put in hotel lodgings as well as a steakhouse.
Okay.
On the other side of the street.
Correct. So on the north side, my understanding is it's something like an 800-room hotel that they're planning to build, which is pretty substantial.
Sure.
And the restaurant. I don't know if it was a steakhouse specifically. But, yeah, that's tribal.
Don't take my word for it.
I'm already ready to order.
Yeah, me too.
But my understanding is that's what's going to happen on the north side, so, right up against the casino, or actually attached to the casino.
And you can guess, see the work. But based upon your vast experience in commercial real estate construction, when do you think they'll serve the first steak?
That's way beyond my pay grade. I have no idea. No clue whatsoever.
Warrior said they were doing a car wash also? Is that part of that?
I've seen the sign there, but that one I really don't know anything about other than the sign.
Any other signs going up 550? That old New Mexican restaurant that has a telephone pole in front of the...
Oh, the Coronado restaurant.
Right, they get new signs periodically.
I haven't heard anything concrete. I've heard rumors there's activity there, but I don't know anything firm as far as any development going on there yet.
Okay. Did we talk about tagging yet?
No, we haven't.
Because, as I mentioned, I go back and forth all the time. There was a 2 or 3 or 4 week period there where it wasn't even nice tagging. It was just a mess. And now it's gone and cleaned up, which... That's the fastest I've ever seen that go away. So congratulations, Mr. Mayor. But it was like one person?
The police department picked up a couple of people who they suspect were responsible for most or all of that on unrelated charges.
Right.
And the information I get from them is when it happened, they were pretty certain they were the culprits. And since we haven't seen a repeat, my assumption is that they were correct. So frankly, I think we were, in this case, just lucky that they got into some other trouble and the police were able to deal with it.
And stopped what they were doing.
Right.
Any, what department cleans it up?
Our Public Works Department, and that could be, typically it's the guys who work in the Parks Department. They do all our maintenance and all. And occasionally, if we're in a real bind, we may get one of our water guys to help out, but it's typically the Parks guys.
Do you have a facilities manager or director?
We have a facilities director, and he's got one staff person that works under him.
And how many vehicles?
For facilities?
Yeah.
One.
One? But don't they have to do like street lights and?
Yeah, we don't consider that facilities.
Oh.
So for us, facilities mean actual structures, buildings.
Okay.
And so we have a number of people that have some overlapping responsibility. So with our streets and things like that, it's typically our Parks Department guys who do really much more than parks, but parks and maintenance, I would call it. And then occasionally we'll get some help from our Water Department, which is a lot larger in terms of the number of staff members versus parks. And then a lot of the street lights are under state contract with DOT, so they're responsible depending on how the licenses
work. But you have to coordinate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because we knew a guy in a former city of, I guess it was 50, 60,000 people, pretty small, and he was the facilities manager. But he had cell phones and beepers. He was like a rock star or a drug dealer or something. You couldn't go out to dinner or breakfast.
Poor guy.
But he loved it because it was keeping the whole thing going. Wow. And some people like that stuff, but it's so complex.
Sounds like our public works director. Yeah. He has two cell phones that are nonstop, and he's juggling lots.
And he only does it because he loves it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, each to his own.
Some people do, thank God.
Exactly. Because the city seems, in that area, if not others, seems to run pretty smoothly.
They you know, I tip my hat to the staff, including the director, because they work really hard. And have a lot to cover for the staff that we have for that.
Would you like to name him or her by name?
Oh, sure. Andy Edmondson is our public works director. He's a licensed engineer, which is wonderful because it saves us a lot of money when we need an engineer to review plans. He can legally do that and put his stamp on it. And so he covers just a wide range of issues ranging from any capital project. So that means that streetscape that we talked about.
Right.
That'll be his responsibility. He's in charge of oversees all of our drinking water wells, our wastewater plant. So he's got a huge plate that he has to deal with.
But while we're waiting for the streetscape to be finished, why not have, let's everybody put a potted plant on our front stoop? Or so, I mean, you could have an amazing impact just by somebody going door to door. The city council take their district. Let's clean it up.
You know, it's interesting you say that because you're probably the third person that suggested something along those lines. So our staff has started trying to figure out how to best leverage that and put together a plan for springtime, which is typically when you'll see people go out.
Is it Bernalillo Weed and Feed? They carry a line of seasonal, pansies or geraniums or whatever.
Sure.
So they could be the funnel.
Mm-hmm.
Get your coupon for a Jack Torres geranium. We'll get a variety.
We'll keep the name out of there so that way people will plant them.
Because we just love going up and down the street, and everybody wants to see it succeed. Everything was cool in 2016. You didn't spend more money than came in.
We didn't spend more money that came in. Absolutely not.
And what are the plans for 2017? Still not going to spend more than, you're fully funded, I guess they would say?
Yeah, we're our budget runs through June of each year.
Okay.
Our fiscal year. So, we're pretty frugal. In fact, right now we're applying to refinance a couple of loans that will save us, if we can get it approved, about $140,000 a year. And over the life of the loans,
that's
it'll
the
save
savings.
The town. That's the savings.
Wow.
It'll end up saving us it'll save the town just over $1 million, assuming interest rates don't go through the roof before we get approval. But we're in the middle of that right now. And again, we're just honestly bracing ourselves because we don't know what the legislature might do in terms of solving the statewide problems.
Right.
And our biggest fear is that they'll push the problem down to the municipal level, and then we're in could have some extreme challenges.
And when will the legislature meet again to possibly have that impact?
They go into session now in January. I forget if it's the 16th or 18th of January. It's a 60-day session. There are all kinds of rumors floating around about where their fix might come from, but they still have to fill, I forget, $20, $30 million gap from their last fiscal year.
Okay.
As well as one for this year. I met with one of our state reps this morning, actually. He told me their outlook is a little bit better right now, but it's going to be a tough year, and so we know we'll have some impact. We're just hoping it's not severe.
So that you'd become aware of that kind of the beginning of April?
Sure. Yeah, that's about right.
And if bad things happen, do you already know, like, this one, if something's going to happen, this is the one that's going to go, and then if it's even worse, this one and this one's going to go?
No, there's no way. I mean, the state budget is pretty diverse, and we're municipalities are a piece of that pie.
Sure.
And so they could either say, we're going to hammer the municipalities, or they could say we're going to hammer somebody else, or they could spread the pain all over, and there's no way to
or have a solution
that.
And no one needs to feel pain.
Right. That one's not going to happen.
Because
there's going to be pain.
I hear America's going to be great again. I don't know where, but I've heard
next
that.
Next question.
What do we need to put on our calendar for 2017? Beer Fest? Well, we're at the end of the year, so you had the parade, which was great. Mm-hmm. Actually, tonight is a party at
the rec center.
At the rec center.
Right. Tonight's the town's holiday social, and it's a really fun thing. Again, mm-hmm. It's a small town deal. Santa will be there for young and old. Just show up. It's from 6 to 8 o'clock. There'll be refreshments there. And one of the cool things is our rec director is also a professional musician. And a few years ago, he started a class with a number of adults who wanted to either, most of them, I think, wanted to improve their musical abilities.
Right.
And Jason started working with them. And so they've come together and formed a band and have performed at a number of places. And they'll be performing tonight again. So it's a fun time. If you like to dance, you can come, and if you like to listen, you can come and listen.
Do they have a genre?
You know, it's a pretty diverse mix. They'll do some local rancheras and dance music. They'll do some country western. Mm-hmm. They'll do some rock and roll.
No klezmer music.
None that I've heard from them, but you never know.
Might
be the first tonight.
They're capable.
You know, there's anything could happen tonight, but it's a fun time. There's no charge. Mm-hmm. Anybody's welcome.
So is that always on the 20th or always on the first Tuesday or the third Tuesday of the?
It's typically the Tuesday prior to Christmas.
Okay.
And I think they sometimes will make allocations depending on when Christmas
is. Because, I mean, this is only going to air one time live.
Right.
And it is kind of the year wrap up. But that people can look for this event
every
year.
Right. Right.
Unless when you hear this next week, you go, I missed it this year. I got to go to next year. So that's why we're talking about what to put on your calendar. What's the first big city event for the new year?
The first public event. We have a little bit of a lull. Honestly, I think probably the Easter egg hunt will probably be our first one.
Okay.
The staff will take a break from surviving because December is really crazy for them.
I mean, sure.
We do the lighting of the tree. We do the Christmas parade. We do the holiday social, the Christmas gifts, which even though we have Santa out, a number of staff put in hours and hours above and beyond to coordinate, to organize, to wrap presents, and then to deliver them. And they did that Saturday to just about 150 families were provided gifts, which was pretty neat.
I'm going to take a second and congratulate ourselves. I have spent time, several years at this stint, if not longer, in four or five or six different parts of America. Mm-hmm. And yes, every community at the holiday time, they have a toy drive or the policeman or the fireman. I cannot believe how many organizations and how much stuff gets collected in a relatively small population. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy over the top how much people give around here, and it never seems to stop.
I agree with you. I mean, we've been just so appreciative that so many are so generous. That's really true. And one of the newer neighborhoods in Bernalillo is Alegria, which is over on the west side of Bernalillo off of 528. And they've only been around, I don't know, less than 10 years. And they come together every year for our school supply drive, for our coat drive, for our Christmas fund. And what's really cool is the giving is done with such kindness and such a positive spirit. And there's people over there that are so cool. So with our school supply drive, for instance, they not only collect boxes and boxes of school supplies, but there's a couple of, in this case, women that take it upon themselves to organize them.
Right.
So they've got a spreadsheet that they come over with, and they say, we've got 100 of these, 200 of these, and
these
everything's
are the people
organized.
Who learn computers.
Yeah, exactly. and so for staff who are doing this as an above and beyond type of thing, it's not their main job, it just makes their life so incredibly easy because all that organization is already done when they walk in the door, and they come through for the community over and over, and I just need to give them a shout out because I think it's wonderful. And we've got individuals all over the community and beyond. It's not just Bernalillo people that come in and give. Businesses that have been so generous. And so again, it...
And I never feel hassled. You know, sometimes depending on what group is fundraising outside some of the stores, you feel like... Can I find a different entrance so I don't have to go by this? But never, ever with any of this holiday help stuff. I think the very first year we were visiting out here, it was around this time. And I don't know if it was Albertsons or Walmart or whatever. But big 18-wheeler out front parked next to the store. And you could either donate funds. I'm sorry, it wasn't around this time. It was school time. Or you could go in and they gave you a list of we need rulers. Yeah. And that... You know, I can't buy a toy for a child. I'm totally, I just wouldn't know.
Right.
They wouldn't want what I want, believe me. But I can buy a ruler and some paper and feel like I just didn't give them cash. I participated.
Right.
And that's, I'd never seen that before. It's probably all over and I'm just, don't get that enough. But it's a great thing. All right, so that's the Easter egg hunt.
Right.
And that's annual.
Right.
Okay, so
and that's something we calendar. Do. We do that over at Rotary Park.
Okay,
and the other thing I'm real appreciative of is all the partnerships we have with not just government agencies, but businesses and churches. And you know, for our Christmas tree lighting, I always think it's cool that we get a Catholic priest here, but we also get a minister from First Assembly of God that comes and. You know, they're great guys, and it's a good time for people. And our Easter egg hunt...
No blood is lit.
None that I know of, unless it happens away from the building. But every year for the last several years, the First Assembly of God Church, which is here in Bernalillo, takes that on as their project. And so our staff does a lot of the organizing and legwork. And then the day of the Easter egg hunt, Pastor Christian and his youth group and staff just take over. So they basically run the egg hunt. It's really cool. There's tons of people. There's food. And again, it's what I think is really neat about it is you have people there that want to be there and are participating and helping because they want to be, and it's not out of a sense of guilt or a sense of obligation. And,
sure.
And I think that's when you really feel good about things is when people are taking part because they want to.
Well, I'm sure people's 6 and 8-year-old children are there because they feel obligated to go.
No, they're yeah.
And then chocolate.
The excitement is there for
does,
sure.
Does the Easter Bunny have a name? Is it or just the
you know,
the Easter Bunny?
To my knowledge, it's Easter Bunny, but there could be another name that I'm.
Will Easter Bunny
of.
Be there? At
Easter Bunny is always there.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The same person year after year.
I cannot speak to that.
Okay.
I just know it's Easter Bunny.
That whole. mascot thing is insane. If you've ever seen programs on it, it's almost like Comic-Con, or nutty people get about them. And hence, so many good YouTube videos of them fighting it out on the field. For the community help with any of these events, can they call Town Hall and say, hey, I want to work on this or I want to work on that?
Absolutely.
So
We welcome volunteers.
From in the surrounding
absolutely,
burbs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll take help from anywhere we can get it. They could be international. We'll take their help, no problem.
As long as they're here.
Yeah.
And so after Easter comes...
Gosh, you're really making me think, Matthew.
Let's get right up to the Beer Brew Fest.
That's what you really want to know, right?
Is that's happening?
You know, that'll happen in some iteration. We haven't worked out the details, but there'll absolutely be a brew fest of some sorts, and it may take on a little different appearance this year. In fact, it will take on a different appearance, but we're still not 100% sure of
possible date movement for less conflicts?
No, we're going to stick with that date. That's we've made some decisions. We're staying with that date. And I would guess at this point that most likely we're going to add a food component to it.
Okay.
And what specifically that's going to be, I'm not sure. It may be contest-oriented, but we'll see how that works out.
There is no question that America, right after becoming coffee crazy, is foodies.
Yeah.
Not just eat. It's got to be fancy. If it didn't take every pot and pan and all day to do, it's not good. Or people enjoy it. I shouldn't say that. Yeah. But it's so that's a great idea. I did skip over 4th of July.
Oh, yeah. We, again, we'll keep to what we've been doing for the last several years, which will be a... fireworks-free 4th of July.
Okay.
And we do a more water-based celebration over at Rotary Park. So we have jumpers and water slides for the kids. Fire department is out in force. There's tons of water balloons and water guns and food as well, and we'll do the same this year.
See, if everything's got food.
That's right. We're Americans, right? We're going to eat.
I think any country that can does.
Okay.
Because Britain has as huge an obesity problem as we do. Hmm. Like, they caught up. They might have even passed us.
Huh?
Yeah. But that culture walks so much more, so you got to really eat. Hmm. Fireworks-free. Is that a new theme across America, or is that just what the town has always done?
I can't speak to that. No, the town, years past, did several different things. At one time, they did a joint fireworks celebration with... Santana Pueblo.
Right.
They did some on their own. And then we went through some years of severe drought here specifically, and the fire chief was just extremely uncomfortable with any sort of fireworks. And the options for people seem significant for fireworks at Balloon Fiesta Park. I can see a lot of them from my house, actually.
I'm a little bit up on the hill, and they're all over the place. It's better than when I lived in D.C.
And the response we've gotten for the event at the park has been just extremely positive, so we've decided that's where we'll put our resources.
Well, sounds like a good time.
Yeah. Even the mayor gets wet, typically.
All right. Do we have a wet mayor contest?
No.
Okay. speaking of things inappropriate, what are the rules on firework sales within the town? Are you governed by the county?
Essentially, it's a state ordinance.
Right.
And I forget the classifications, but firework, I think, can't go higher than 10 feet. It's a specific classification that's a legal classification.
Right.
So firecrackers, cherry bombs, those sorts of things are not allowed. The great big bottle launchers or rockets are not allowed.
So it's sparklers and Roman candles.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Well, that's good enough. We don't need to be destructive. I don't need our AR-17 or something.
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Which begs the question of, there are several large tents that go up on our the parking lot to our neighbors to the north on the Pueblo. Mm-hmm. Do they still have, they have different rules? I haven't visited there, so I don't know.
They're not bound by state statute, and I haven't been out there either. I've heard that they sell the more powerful fireworks, but I don't know for
no
sure.
No claymores or surface air missiles.
I don't know. But again, we just have no authority over what they sell there, but we do have authority over what people use here. Yeah. So people have been pretty good the last couple of years in particular.
I have heard more firearms on New Year's Eve than I did firecrackers on 4th of July.
You're right. Yeah.
Well, after we know we go 4th of July, and then we know that we have a food, beer, wine, some kind of liquid, some kind of something you consume festival.
Right.
But we know that, we already know the dates.
That's right.
And that those dates are?
That's Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
So I wish I could tell you what specific date, but you'll have to refer to or Google Labor Day 2017. Sorry.
Right, that's okay. And then Thanksgiving.
Right.
Is there a turkey parade or a doggy dash?
No, the town doesn't do anything formal for Thanksgiving.
Okay. Halloween?
Halloween, we take part in a community celebration that the county sponsors over at the Zocalo.
Yes.
So we have actually not one, but several booths. So our fire department has a little booth handing out candy. The police department does. The administration does. And we take part with a lot of other government and private businesses that provide safe place for the kids to trick or treat. And it's nice because teachers bring their classes. They've got a lot of adult supervision.
Sure.
We have officers there because they also cross the street over to Peanut Butter and Jelly in the senior center. Mm-hmm. So they can control traffic. Officers can control traffic and keep it very controlled for the kids so we can avoid any.
I was kind of thinking that if, you know, you were going to have a fireworks free 4th of July, you might have a candy free. I don't know how much of a buzzkill you were.
Trying to create an issue here, Matthew?
Yes. I'm just an observer of society, often not with a very clear lens from what I've been told. But, all right, fully staffed? You have a new IT person, and the website is looking good?
We have a new IT person.
Townofbernalillo.org?
That's right. David Varela is doing a great job for us, he's made some changes. He's moved forward with a number of projects that were midstream. The website still needs improvement. We're looking at several different options, maybe getting someone from the outside to handle that just because of the labor intensity involved and doing it in a thoughtful manner. So the website isn't where it needs to be yet.
Right.
But he's been extremely busy, and frankly, there's some internal stuff that he needed to take care of that are getting taken care of before the website.
Sure.
And that's sort of the will come along.
I don't know what his ultimate goal will be, but I can tell you between when we spoke about this 2, 3, 4 months ago, it's a brand new day. It's useful.
Good.
I found what I needed to find. It wasn't darn.
We've been really happy with David, and he seems to be a good fit for us.
So, and I'm a big advocate of websites being portals to information to your customer, mm-hmm. as opposed to someone thinking they're going to get business by having jacktorres.com.
Right.
And so I'm happy with that, and that's all that counts to me.
We also have a new person who's taken over our Facebook page, the marquee, some of the other social media stuff that we do, the Twitter account, and Danielle Threadgill is doing a dynamite job. In fact, Saturday we had Santa and staff delivering gifts to families. They ran from, they started delivering at 8 a.m. and finished about 4:35. 6 o'clock, she already had photos up on the Facebook page, which I thought was really cool.
Absolutely.
And that's, again, not my particular cup of tea. I frankly don't Facebook other than looking at the town's Facebook page, but so many people do. I mean, it's reaching out to a certain segment that just eat it up, and number of views, numbers of likes are jumping up, and she's taking hold of that and doing a really good job.
So you don't do some kind of a blog through the Facebook page?
I don't, no. I know some mayors that do, and I've chosen not to.
Yeah, I have not seen what mayors put out there, but is it like personal Facebook stuff? Like, hey, I think I'm going to go get a haircut today.
You know, believe it or not, some of them do.
Really?
And that's just not my cup of tea.
It seems so narcissistic.
Frankly, I think, who cares?
Well, I guess for his constituency, he thinks they care, and apparently they do, because he's still mayor.
Or he does, so.
Yes, well, it's a win-win.
Yeah, again, it's no problem. I mean, to each his own, as far as I'm concerned. It's just, again, I don't think I add any value to the community by letting them know, you know, what I'm having for lunch or.
I can't say that's 100% true, because of all the interviews I've done since KUPR went on the air, and so I'm maybe 60 weeks in a row with skipping one. Mm-hmm. When I think back on of all the other things I could have been doing, this is probably the best. But the there are several people who are repeats, yourself being one of them. Hmm. You can track how many people listen to them, and people like to listen to you. Hmm. And it's not always like within the first 90 days. People might go back because they, I don't know. Hmm. But with the use of tags and keywords and stuff, you know, if we put in Brewfest 2017, if someone searches on that, they're going to find this whole interview. Oh. So,
well, thanks.
You're welcome. I don't maintain much of a Facebook page. I know if I ever want to grow this bigger, I'm going to have to.
Sure.
And we know the power of it is just kind of icky to
Well, me. And again, I think for the town to have a Facebook page is absolutely appropriate and good. For me to have a personal one, frankly, I have a lot of other things I need to be dealing with and would rather deal with. And again, if anybody needs me, they know how to find me, and they do.
And if if I come across something funny on the internet or a joke or something, and I want two or three or four people, even yourself, I'm going to email you.
Right.
I'm not going to. So, well, now that we have absolutely have no chance of getting that Zuckerberg grant.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, I've dashed all hopes for the town. All right. Well, like our mutual good friend, Bill O'Reilly, we're going to give you the last word.
Well, you know, I think probably it's appropriate to just share my appreciation and thanks, because 2016 was a very good year for the town. Lots of good things happening. And really appreciation for the staff, because I think I've shared with you before, when I got elected, I thought I knew at least a little bit about municipal government, and it didn't take me long to realize how little I knew and how much gets done. And if anybody ever has any free time or is bored and wants to hear about it, I'd be happy to share it with them. But the staff works with really limited number of staff with limited resources and does a remarkable job that most people don't even think about. I mean, most of us average people don't think about, when we put on the tap, everything that goes into making sure that water comes flowing through and that it's safe and in good condition. And there's so many other things beyond that. So my appreciation to the staff, because they step up all the time. And the town is in good condition financially. We're real careful about those sorts of things. We're optimistic about things moving forward. I do want to make a comment. We're losing a long time, I'll say stalwart. I don't know if she'll take that as a compliment or not, but
she didn't like when I said diva.
At least I didn't say that. But Maria Rinaldi has submitted her retirement notice to me. The 31st of December, just a short time from now, will be her last formal day. And she's been with the town for a long time. And in honesty, she and I have had our ups and downs. There's things we absolutely agree with. There's things we absolutely disagree with. But I think what we share is just a belief in the community and a love of Bernalillo. And so we were able to get past whatever differences we had. And I think that's important. And
that makes you stronger.
Well, it certainly does. And again, she's done much for the town. She'll obviously be difficult to replace. We're actually looking at some restructuring. We had already done some of the transition because we knew this. She had given me notice that this was coming. The specific date was a little quicker than I had anticipated. But again, we have staff that'll continue to pick up the pieces and continue to move forward. And again, for us, you know, I certainly wish her well personally, because I know it's a well-deserved retirement, and she's got some exciting plans, and I wish her well with all that. And for us, it's just, I think, an opportunity to continue to move the town forward and take what she's done and build on it. And again, we appreciate what she's done for the community and wish her well going forward in retirement. So,
what a great way to end.
Thanks.
So for Conversations with Matthew Brownson, and today I am with
Mayor Jack Torres
here on KUPR 99.9 FM in the high desert of Positas, New Mexico. Thank you all.